Colossians chapter 3, and we come to the section now that deals with personal relationships. He's been telling us how that we ought to behave ourselves as the children of God, and this is the pattern followed in all of the New Testament epistles. First of all, he tells us all the wonderful things that he has done for us, and then he tells us how he would like us to behave to please him. This is different from the law of the Old Testament. There we were told to do certain things, and then in exchange for this, God would bless us. This is typical of their day. Their day was a Sabbath day. They served all week, and then they received a day of rest on the seventh day. While in Christianity, we begin with the first day, and then we have the week to serve the Lord following that. Christianity is so far superior to Judaism in every way that there really is very little comparison, and yet many Christians are trying to go back to the Judaistic way of law-keeping and hoping that if they do enough good, God may bless them. Notice the way the epistles are laid out in the New Testament. Always he gives us our blessings first and then tells us how he would like us to behave. Now, this behavior extends to every avenue and every direction and every department of human life. First of all, we have wives and husbands, then we have children and parents, and then we have servants and masters. Now, while the servants of the Bible time were many of them slaves, and God, of course, does not approve slavery, yet, since this could not be changed at that time, he merely gives us directions as to how they should behave themselves. Today we can take this for hired servants, those who are working for a man, and masters can stand for the employer. And if we follow out the directions given here for employee and employer, I'm sure that there'd be no trouble whatever. First of all, we begin with the wives in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, we live in emancipated America, and there are many women who do not believe that it is necessary any longer for the wife to be in subjection to her husband. But the Bible has never been changed. This is still the right order. If you'll read the fifth chapter of Ephesians, you'll find out that he insists upon this, that wives are not only to be in subjection, but they are to be in obedience. Wives are to obey their own husbands in the Lord, for this is right. And a wife who is not obedient to her husband and is not subject to her husband is never a happy wife. I've observed this over many years. It may be that the wife considers herself superior, and she may be superior. But this is a matter of position. It's not a matter of inferiority or superiority. It's merely a matter of position. And God's way is that the man should be the head of the family and that the wife should be in subjection unto him. And I've noticed that wives who do this are usually much happier ones, and they are a great help to their husbands. Now, on the other hand, husbands are given a much more difficult job. We're told, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In the book of Ephesians, the parallel epistle to this one, he tells us that husbands are to love the wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So a husband is called upon to love his wife with the same kind of love that Christ shows toward the church. And this is a pretty big order. This is a very high calling. And a husband is going to have to get help from the Lord if he's going to do this in a way pleasing to the Lord. Notice that he says that husbands are not to be bitter against their wives. This would not be said if there wasn't some danger of it. Perhaps I'm talking to someone today, and although you profess to be Christians, there's bitterness in your home. This ought to be straightened out, ought to be taken care of right away by confession, and not only confession to the Lord, but confession to one another. And when you each of you take your right place in relationship to the Lord, in relationship to each other, things will go much more smoothly for you than they have in the past. Now, children have a responsibility. Children are told to obey their parents in all things. I don't know how many young people might be listening to me just now, but I want to say to you young people that God holds you responsible as long as you're under the roof of your parents to be in obedience to your parents. God expects you to obey them in all things, not simply when it fits in with your idea of things, not simply when it pleases you, but you're to obey them in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, if I'm talking to a young person who is not a believer, I'm sure that you have no intention and no desire to please the Lord or to obey your parents. But if you're a child of God, then this is said to you. This is your responsibility, and I trust that you will accept it and look to the Lord for help to do it. You may live under very difficult circumstances. You may have a father, like in the next verse, who provokes his children to anger. But you still have your responsibility. Your job is to obey your parents in all things. And if you do this, as he said back in verse 17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And again, as he says in verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. I'm sure that you'll be able to obey your parents, and you'll be a much happier young person as a result. Now, this is said to children who are old enough to make a choice. This is not said to little tiny children. It's assumed that they will behave and that their parents will see that they behave. But this is said to children who are older. It's the word for young people, a word that would be used to describe those who are even in their teens. And he says to them, obey your parents. Now, fathers, in verse 21, although it's parents in verse 20, he goes to the fathers specifically in verse 21. What is said here would be true to mothers as well, but especially fathers need this. Provoke not your children. It says to anger in italics, which means that these words have been added. It could be provoking them to discouragement, provoking them to answering back, provoking them to a number of things. Don't provoke them, lest they be discouraged. It's awfully difficult for a child who's really trying to behave himself to find that nothing that he does seems to please his parents. This is very provoking and very discouraging. You who are parents have a great responsibility to try to live and act toward your own children in such a way as to help them along the Christian pathway rather than to be a hindrance to them in any way. Now servants are called upon, in verse 22, to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. As I said, this had to do with slaves, especially in the first century, when 3 out of 4 of the Roman citizens were slaves. But this, to us today, can stand for employees. We are to obey in all things those whom we serve according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Not doing it simply to butter up the boss, as they say. Not doing it just simply to gain favor with somebody, but doing it because you want to please the Lord. Many a Christian employee has won his employer to the Lord because he has lived a godly life before him. I can't overemphasize this. In our day, there's a great tendency in the other direction. There's a great tendency to think very little of our responsibility to serve well those who have employed us. There's a great deal of talk among the men of the world about our rights and our benefits and all of this without stopping to think that God has something to say about this in His Word. Now, undoubtedly, the emphasis is placed on servants here because this epistle was being delivered by a runaway slave named Onesimus, whose story is told in the little epistle to Philemon. Philemon lived at Colossae, and so the Apostle Paul, who was in prison, sent these two letters, by the hand of this runaway slave, Onesimus, and no doubt many people knew about him being a slave, and so the Spirit of God uses Paul to say these things so as to emphasize the fact that the Lord, in forgiving Onesimus, certainly did not overlook the seriousness of his sin. And so we're told, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Anything that you do for another person, you can do it for Christ. You housewives can wash your dishes for the Lord Jesus. You can keep your house for Him. You men can do your work in the shop or in the office or whatever you're doing. You can do it for the Lord, even though nobody appreciates it, though nobody ever says anything about it. The Lord won't forget it. He has it down in His book. And it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, slaves could not possess anything here on earth, and working people don't possess very much. But there's a promise of the reward of the inheritance. Now, this is not our salvation. Our salvation is a free gift. But there is a reward, an inheritance, waiting for those who live to please Him. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So if you happen to be one whose responsibility is that of an employer rather than an employee, then let me urge you to do whatever you do in a just and equal way, because you have a master also. You're responsible for one to one who looks down upon you and sees what you're doing. And whatever you do, you should do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man as well. Well, these are some of the things that will happen when we are in obedience to the will of the Lord and when we're living as Christians should. Shall we pray? Our Father, once again, we thank Thee for our Savior, the true servant, who came into this world and gave Himself for our sins. We ask You to bless Thy word to us, help us who have trusted Him to be obedient to Him, and aid others to put their trust in Him, for His name's sake. Amen.